Okay, welcome back to part two of the Football Shirt Pod. Before we get stuck into any more Premier League era-defining football shirts, then we've got a little unboxing here, courtesy of colkits.com. Lewis, do you want to kick off?
I have literally not a clue
what's in this pizza-shaped box.
There's two in.
Yeah,
so
one for you,
Bess.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah. I also thought it was pizza, so I'm slightly disappointed.
It's a very shiny packet inside the pizza box for those listening.
So, just for the listeners,
let's have a look. It's like a shiny, clearly shiny.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. The Prem shiny was always the one, wasn't it?
Slot number one.
Well, I think the Swindon one are the ones.
Yeah, that's the good one.
Right, that's what we got.
Oh, wow.
We've had a chat about FIFA. But...
So there's a lot of issues with the controversies around this shirt.
Should we just say what it is?
Yeah. Go on. Okay. So it's the Fiorentina 1996-97. Just checking my notes. Yeah, 96-97 away. The reason for the controversy is the fact that there are a lot, and by a lot we mean, yeah, a fair few, that have attempted to, with these shirts, that they've pressed on them, the Mario.
So it's Nintendo. Nintendo sponsored, but with the addition of a Mario.
The Mario thing. So they're always the Gigi and
So the Nintendo Nintendo existed, but they've obviously made only a certain few.
This is part of an extension of exposure to the game.
Right.
Which was legit.
So, just for context, though, we ended up in The Guardian about this, didn't we?
It all got a bit turbo, to be honest.
Yeah, go on.
So, a well-known YouTuber, you know, did a great piece on the shirt. And he bought the shirt off of us as well.
Oh, I see.
And he had question marks around it, its authenticity. Obviously, as far as the company is concerned, we do not sell fake shirts.
That's right. So Colkits.com.
If you're not happy with it, it comes back, unfortunately.
So, we've tried.
And it came back, and rightfully so. However, we have now just got our hands on another one, and this is one of the ones which we think is 100% legit. A very well-known football shirt brand kindly helped us out with a bit of the investigation of it back in the previous,
the previous one.
They did, yeah.
That's good.
You know, hats off to them, really, and came in with the fact that they could prove that there were photographs of players wearing them.
It's definitely photos of players wearing the training wear with Mario, wasn't there?
So it was a thing where they did this print of the Mario on the shirt, and this is probably the best one we've ever received.
It is amazing. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And it appears to be something that was quite rife in South America in terms of the promotion of the game on the shirt.
So as far
as the shirt's concerned, 100% legitimacy of the shirt. It's the best print we've ever had. The previous one that we sold, the skin tone of the Mario was darker.
And I
think as a business we could rightfully put our hands up and say, yeah, there's a few question marks there. However, we still think it's part of the same distribution.
And we the sort of the mystery of it is actually
it's incredibly hard. There's got narrative to it. The legacy of the shirt itself, and I'm pretty sure most shirt collectors will agree, is that even if it turned out not to be, you'd be happy to get your hands on it because it would have been part of that pack where people have done it.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be copycats on eBay level now. If they get their hands on a blank shirt of that, they're going to slap on a Mario.
I don't think they could do it that quality.
No, but there is a difference.
You can tell if it's been freshly printed or not, and that one definitely hasn't. So that is as close as we're ever probably going to get to it.
Okay.
Which is pretty
good
exciting.
Shirt. Yeah, good shirt. Excellent.
Incredible.
Mass.
Cool.
Do the honors.
Let's get this bad boy out.
Yeah. This is again beautifully wrapped in gold foil paper.
Oh, really?
Oh, gosh.
That's exciting.
Oh. Thank you.
He's just looking me dead in the eyes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, let's go.
That's the old Cork cities.
Yeah. Wow.
Look at that. Look at that.
Turn it this way.
I don't even want to. I don't want to touch it. Because I know how much. Wow.
So, I'm not too familiar with it, other than I have seen it before, but it looks, excuse my name, fucking amazing. So, but we're talking, obviously, the idea of not even breathing on it and in that condition as well.
So there's a huge amount. It's super rare. I mean, it's in that condition as well. It's mental, to be honest. To the point where we're just like, we're not selling it.
So Josh, you're the best at describing these.
We won't sell it. Can you name the only other club that's had Guinness as a sponsor? And it's
Queen's Park Rangers.
Yeah.
Really?
Can you name the year that they had that?
It'll be about 84, I'm guessing.
Do you know, I'm going to give you that. 83 to 85.
In the loo there.
In the middle.
Do you know what's amazing? I was hoping that.
Obviously, in our cubicle and stuff, you get a lot of footy stickers because we attract a lot of footy fans.
Yeah.
And there's an unbelievable QPR one. That is because they wear it in blue and red, don't they? It's like got blue and red. I can remember it.
Yeah.
With Guinness on, and underneath it says, "Always shit, forever local." So like, it's unbelievable. But
do you know what I was about QPR as well, and whether just listening or specifically watching this is absolutely brilliant within their community. They host, they help one of our massive Campaign Against Misery, one of our big. Fundraisers, Giancarlo. Yeah. He does a football event every year, and QPR are brilliant with it. But even during COVID, the efforts that were made with sort of their local community have been huge. And in fact, even renaming the stadium after the lad they lost to their academy. So maybe it's always shit, but always local. It's the local side of it. They're brilliant with.
Yeah.
And the Guinness links even sweet.
Yeah.
No, that reminds me a bit of that Portsmouth. Portugal rather. from that era with the trefoil on
it. It was the template that was used for. Euros.
Is that what it was?
So all the Adidas sports kits were.
Because just before that Portugal one, there's an under-20s world tournament. You see Figo. Incredible. Ends up being what it is, but with a young like Carlos as well.
He looks about
down the line.
40 in that fight.
Yeah, so does Carlos. Yeah.
If you're a court fan, any court followers, then
bad luck. As in to buy it.
They won the league.
Yeah, you can't have it.
They won the league in that.
Yeah, it's a lovely badge as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's see it again if you don't mind.
Yeah, get that back out.
The condition of it is
unbelievable.
I think it's a fake. No, I don't. I'm joking.
As this guy, no chance. But that on the
they've got a few seasons of it, haven't they, with Guinness and everything they've done.
Is that right?
Unbelievable.
Amazing. Because Cork had the Germany one as well, the Germany template too, didn't they?
Across the.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that's the other one with Guinness right across it.
Yeah. Let's get to fucking Cork,
Didn't Ireland turn down the opportunity to have that Italian 90 as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ireland could have had the Germany shirt at Italian 90, but I can't remember. There's a story about it. I don't know if it involves Jack Charlton if I dreamt that, but I'm sure there's a story about them wanting something from the player.
Yeah, I know. For some reason, that's great.
Well, the night before he had a Guinness tap installed into his hotel room, didn't he?
He didn't.
Yeah, 100% true.
They're not putting in a tap.
Of course they are. Jack Charlton, manager of Ireland at the World Cup in 94.
That's a lot of planning involved.
An American-Irish person who works for Guinness, manager says, bring me a tap tonight. They're going to go,
You do it and hope it gets loose, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And someone finds out.
On that note, a couple of little halves of these from your tap, is that?
Well, that's some Guinness. Should have had that. And that shirt.
Right, let's talk about some football shirts from the Premier League era, obviously. That's the topic of debate. That we associate with certain players. I think probably the shirts we've looked at already bring to mind certain kind of key protagonists. But, Lewis, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, I would, because it's sort of almost the only thing I wanted to talk about.
Sorry to have wasted your time.
Yeah, it's true. I was talking about the Bosnian War earlier. No, but even in our WhatsApp groups, it's quite an interesting thing to start thinking about these things and also sort of what takes you back. And I think wearing that, and even wearing that wonderful shirt earlier and holding another one is great to think about when I really fell in love with football. And but there's a sense of sometimes with shirts you remember are the ones that have done you some damage or was painful. And there's loads of them, and whether you're neighbours or kids went to school with, whatever, supported United, who, you know, that the 90s, top two, Arsenal, Man United, then whatever you think of top four or top six now, but United have always been in it. But that shirt it's the black shirt. I think there's a little bit of blue trim on there, but it's also gold. It's sharp view cam, and it's got, in my mind, or in my nightmares, it's got Cantona 7 on the back in gold. It is.
For a night, I would have brought in my mint condition version.
Have you actually got one? But that still means enough.
I've got And Josh is sick of me saying this.
Go on. You've got the one.
I've got a Cantona collection.
All right. Have you? Cantona, yeah. Shirt, all right.
Well, he's got a room in his house.
But they are. Yeah. The playroom. Yeah. Yeah. 50 Shades of Cantona.
Cantona and me. My shirt off.
But it's important. But it is, because I think even looking back, and even you have to get deep into my 30s now. But I think I get it now and like it. But as a kid, I didn't and couldn't, and like it was just the epitome of, and it is jealousy, but also, that's what I think anyway, there's an element of passion. I'd like my team to have been there. I'd love to have had a Cantona. I'd love to. We touched on it earlier. Whatever happens in 1992 is that the Charity Shield Community Shield that year was, you know, the cup winners from the year before, Liverpool, the league winners in Leeds, and in theory, why would those two teams ever think United hadn't won anything for like many years. Yeah, so they're obviously going into thinking, we're the boys and we'll keep it. You know, we're the gatekeepers to this new Premier League, Premiership or whatever.
Yeah.
Cantona even scored a hat-trick for Leeds that day. I think he scores the first Premier League hat-trick against Spurs, still playing for Leeds. Leeds still sell him to United. So that drive and that and whatever the important transfers. And
so Howard
sort of,
Wilkins.
Howard Wilkinson. That's
it. And he said, you can't... What's the famous quote? He's on the phone to Edwards at United.
Yeah.
You know this.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, Masters.
And
yeah.
He says, they only buy him for $1 million.
Yeah.
But you've got to say 1.5.
You've got to say that when you release the information, because Leeds are trying to sign Dennis Irwin.
Right.
And Fergie and Martin Edwards.
Who they don't get.
They
get him for $1 million, but you've got to tell the press it's 1.5.
Yeah. Edwards doesn't give a shit what you say.
Cantona, he's had his issues. There's obviously the France stuff and violent, but the bloke's not started at Leeds badly. He started at Leeds brilliantly.
He brought him and Lee Chapman.
So two hat-tricks.
Speak French.
Just going back to that, have you seen the clip of them on YouTube where they're sat on the sofa and then when they win the league, and obviously Eric Cantona's just sat there, none of them fucking know how to watch.
I've not seen this. Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Compare that to when Leicester won.
I was going
to
say, media training and all of that. But it's that reference, and it's so important for United. And again, maybe, it's also sort of saying pre-pod that, as a Liverpool fan, as you can tell by my accent, I'm sure. But the sense of, once we'd won something, I also could look back and enjoy things more, which is a very, it's almost immature, but I get it, it's quite a passionate thing. Finally, fucking won the league. It was like, it turns out that Ronaldo was pretty good for you. But the thing that got me as a kid, because for some reason, someone influences you and your private team, but seeing that shirt, that black shirt, which of course also, by the way, is objectively beautiful and perfect. But it also reminds me of being, something.
Details on that.
It's
are incredible.
They're incredible,
not to be
aren't
too
they?
Nerdy about it, but like
I think that's why the people are here.
The closer you get up to it, the Umbro repeat.
Yeah.
As an actual stripe.
Yeah.
You've got the NBFC details on the cuffs.
Okay.
And just a sharp view.
Sorry.
Let's stop now. Good choice.
Thanks.
And the only shot I almost considered shoplifting.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
David, what have you picked?
I would say it's a Spurs shirt. It's not this shirt. It's the yellow one of the same season.
Yeah.
It's got the jagged. They actually, it's the game actually, where the goal was scored at half from the halfway line against Ipswich.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Clive Baker was in goal.
Jason Cundy, I think. Was. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
Who would let Ipswich?
So what? So you're wearing a blue one, aren't you?
This is the third shirt.
It's gorgeous.
From the same.
So
mid-90s again. Okay.
But yeah, it's the yellow one. And to be honest with you, there's not much to it other than the fact that I just love the pattern.
Great,
it's just so out there.
It's like Microsoft Paint.
Massively out there. Jagged pattern across the shoulder.
Napoli had a version of it, didn't they?
And who's their main geezer at the time? Have they got Klinsmann yet? Or?
Klinsmann is there. Klinsmann is there. Gazza he's there in the promotionals, but then he then leaves.
Okay.
Goes on to Lazio. Mm. But Anderton, he's a player. I don't know what he's, there's always that one player that just stands out in a certain shirt. And we were saying earlier on.
With McManaman with the Liverpool one,
as
an example.
Like Gascoigne with the Holston shirts. Anderton is one that, he's a brilliant player. Underrated in my opinion, but
I agree.
He's for me, he sells that shirt. And he always, wore it buttoned up as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great kit.
Yes. Matt, what are you going for?
So I'm going to go for Duncan Ferguson, Everton, Danker era Umbro.
Danker?
Love.
Yes.
So they were an electrical business. So they
were they? I'll say yogurt. Why don't I think it's yogurt?
I assume they are.
Yeah.
I always remember they played the FA Cup final, and they must have been one of the first teams ever to do it, where they wore the following season's kit in the final.
Tottenham did that.
Did they?
In 93, whenever they beat Forest, whatever that year was, yes. But yeah, okay. Yeah, it was a thing. It was a new thing, though, yeah.
Yeah, it was a new thing. They introduced the new home shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were, in the semi-final, they were NEC when they did Spurs 4-1, wherever.
Yes. Elland Road.
Elland Road, yeah. And then they had no sponsor and they went to Danker for the following season. But yeah. I think for me, if you think of him, that's when I think of him at his absolute peak of his power.
Yeah.
But he went to Newcastle pretty soon after that.
Yeah.
Why on earth Newcastle signed Shearer and Ferguson to play up front together?
Yeah.
It's an absolute disgrace. Big man just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Especially in like a Rudola era total football, you've gone for them to up front.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
But I think whenever I think of Everton or an Everton shirt, regardless of, and we spoke about this earlier, regardless of any era,
yeah,
it could be that new Hummel one now. I think of Duncan Ferguson with a sweatband on. even if he's like recording videos to school kids kicking off about the maths and stuff,
yeah.
I just think of him as in an Everton kit doing it. So for me, Ferguson Everton is synonymous.
He was he was amazing, wasn't he? Just like a proper leader.
Was he still at Everton there's that funny clip of where he's just going mental and
Jimmy Bullard.
That's later.
Bizarre. But he, so where I'm from originally is a town called St. Helens, and when he has the guys in the headlocks, he's in a town called Rainford.
Right.
Which is this beautiful village where I went to high school.
Yeah.
And we travel fucking ages to get there, but it's in Rainford. So every time you go past, you're like, oh, big dunk out there. Send two burglars in the head.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And now, has he left Everton now?
He has actually, yes. Yeah, so recently. Because I think Lampard brought Ashley Cole in amongst.
Right.
And also the fella, the massive disservice now, but the guy that was working with Ancelotti at PSG and Real.
Clement.
Yes. He went. He put in a big coaching staff.
Unsworth, Ferguson. I'll be back by Christmas.
Again, at the point of recording this weekend is the Gerrard and Lampard can't play together. I've got a feeling they also won't manage in the same league together for very long either of them. But
it was a nice story about when Ferguson came to Newcastle. Kieran Dyer, as an Ipswich fan, I think Kieran Dyer had a column in the Greenin, which was obviously our
football paper.
He kept it. Yeah, and obviously ghostwritten, but. He talked a lot about Ferguson, and basically Ferguson was the guy. If he got in trouble on the pitch, Ferguson was his enforcer. Yeah, so Ferguson was just weighed in.
Whatever happened,
he would look after Kieran Dyer. So I quite like, it's kind of nice. I'd feel safe if that. I'd like it actually. I'd be well cocky. I'd be giving it a big one.
Big dunk if you're watching.
What's
your big memory, Josh?
So I'm gonna. Well, I'm sort of conflating a couple of things here, but I'm gonna pick. A shirt I don't really like very much, which was a sort of that pony shirt of West Ham from the sort of mid-90s. It was very ill-fitting. The collar was way too big.
Boxy,
too big. The sleeves were absolutely enormous. But the reason I'm picking it is because it reminds me, and we were talking about this earlier, of that era, we were talking about this, Merce, of new players coming into the Premier League. This was almost the start of the Premier League as we know it, i.e. lots of foreign players. Because, 92, 93 was basically the same players, wasn't it? It'd been rebadged and looked a bit different. But these were the new players coming in. And the one I was thinking about earlier was Paolo Futre. On the train earlier, Googling Paolo Futre and trying to work out what the hell happened there. But he was with the Radicaiu and Ilie Dumitrescu, Dani, who was beautiful Dani. And, just those sort of players coming in, sort of typified West Ham at that time, kind of chaotic, exciting, bit different. So that was my choice. Yeah, I just thought it was a really interesting part. First time the Premier League started to really embrace foreign players. Obviously, we had Jurgen Klinsmann in '94, which was a big game changer. Yeah. Particularly because he came with sort of certain connotations, certainly from a certain element of the kind of British fans, and charmed everybody, and it was the first superstar who joined.
That diving side of stuff again. I've been at the England Germany final a couple of weeks back. Actually, a massive shout out to UEFA. UEFA have their hurdles to get over, but whoever is in charge of their confetti has done an unbelievable job at Wembley recently. I don't know if you've heard about that, but what you see Lucy Bronze, and she even said it afterwards, was doing a Klinsmann into the confetti.
Yes. Yeah.
It's 2022. So that idea of, and to subvert, but it is to subvert the thing you've been had a go at. And whether it didn't really happen at the final then.
Yeah.
Not an intentional beat. But it was that sense of like the Germans. Yeah, you're right, it's my mate, you're right for a game. But that sense of the being anti-German is sometimes what happens, especially in the men's game, is quite weird. But he managed to completely flip it around.
Yeah. Yeah. Fergie never signs a German player.
Is that right?
The only one they had was a sub goalie.
Right.
Never said, because if there's a, again, United.
Well, it's in popular culture, as in what way people are perceived, or
is in he. When they get knocked out to Bayern Munich in one of his last seasons, he's on camera saying typical Germans.
No way.
Yeah. And there's obviously some sort
of... This might have to be behind a paywall.
It's really interesting that that's still something that's perceived.
Yeah.
But you mentioned about that foreign influx, and we were chatting about it.
Yeah.
94, you've got that West Ham, lock club sort of starting to bring people in. 95... Here's a list for you. Tony Yeboah, early January, goes to Leeds. Yeah. It's going to go off from
Smash
there, isn't it? That's it. He's just hitting it from anywhere it's going. Summer, Bergkamp, Kincladze, Janino, Asprilla, Ulle, Ginola, Blanca, Danny, Thomas Brolin, who's part of that amazing Parma side and comes over to Leeds.
Yeah.
Petrescu, Milosevic at Villa.
Yeah.
You're like, God, that's another big influx. Yeah. Then obviously Euro 96 happens. I think that's a big turning point in the Premier League game, and it's in the country. I think that's the turning point where the pitches actually get good. Years of them beating
shit.
As soon as you said Milosevic, then I was immediately like, AST computers.
And then the summer after, you've got Vieira and Elka arrive at Arsenal, and that's the start of the modern era of footy for me. They're unbelievable players. Yeah. The Euro 96 mob that come in.
Yeah.
And then you've got Graeme Souness signing George Weah's cousin that year as well.
Some really significant
signings there. And Juninho is quite an interesting one as well, because he was, not only that he went to Middlesbrough, but he was a player sort of wanted by everybody, really, wasn't
he? Yeah,
and not too many times that happened when that player comes to the Premier League. It was still at Serie A or Real Madrid or Barcelona, wasn't it?
Remind me,
what year is that then? Sorry, Juninho is it?
He's 95. And then the year after is Ravanelli, Emerson go to Middlesbrough as well, based on the fact that Juninho is there.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, because the Ravanelli thing's interesting in the sense of Haaland recently moving and Community Shield or whatever that curtain raiser is, and them having, and of course we definitely live in the clip up 30 seconds, 2 minutes and make a decision. So apparently he was the worst signing City have ever made. What's the point in wages? But he scores two goals in the opening match against West Ham.
Which
is where they drew in the Olympic Stadium. West Ham have now got 64,000 people in there. You know, it's a really good win for City when you look over the 38 games. Mm. But when he scores his second goal, he becomes only the first person or the second person ever to have a chance at scoring a hat-trick on his debut in the Premier League. And the only other person was the White Feather, the Grey Feather?
Ravanelli.
And it was Ravanelli. So only one person to come in. It was a White Feather. And so you come in and you score a hat-trick for Middlesbrough against Liverpool, who was still, it was largely been a team of no. But the idea being that if Janino doesn't join, you don't have that Ravanelli moment. Because I think he's just won the European Cup, has he? Or the year before?
You've
won it twice. And that year, I think runners-up twice. The 90s...
The Lister Dortmund in 96. So the Lister Dortmund 96.
The Lister Dortmund in 96, but I think they win it in either 1 year or the other.
They beat Ajax on penalties.
But they're runners up all the time. But he's in there. He's in those teams, isn't he?
Yeah.
But interestingly, linked back now.
Right.
When he scores that hat trick, it's against Liverpool at Riverside. They're wearing the cream Reebok home kit. And David James has got on the best goalie kit there's ever been in the Premier League, which is the orange Liverpool away kit from that year.
With the lava bears on it,
as a United fan, I had that as a kid.
Right.
Wow.
That's an exclusive, a pod exclusive.
Yeah.
Right.
You just play it just in your own.
And I just wore it out, just like when I was playing. I wore that.
Is that the template that Newcastle have as well? Am I misremembering? Cernicek.
That's the Adidas ones.
Oh, I do remember. So Reeboks, you're right.
To be fair to Reebok, they had great goalie shirts, because Villa had some great goalie shirts.
And even Bolton.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Really
Liverpool win the European Cup in 2005 in Reebok.
Yeah.
So how about this? Yeah. So there's obviously the Umbro years, and
post a horrible Reebok.
Post 902, it really was.
Yeah, yeah, really small, badge, tiny.
A pod dedicated to the fact that Reebok is underappreciated.
I'm on. I'll start it.
Not a full pod.
Just a quick couple of minutes. Yeah. But Liverpool actually won the European Cup in 05 and in 2019. In Reebok and New Balance, weirdly. Yeah. But you don't have those moments. Yeah, I know. Adidas come in. Obviously, all the money doesn't quite work out.
Yes. Okay. Right. Let's finish up. Let's talk about kits that we perhaps don't like quite so much. Those sort of Premier League shirts that have become infamous for all the wrong reasons. Lewis, what are you going for?
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally wearing last year's reproduction Ecru,
that's the colour.
Thiago on the back. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Fantastic. Colt Kits once very kindly sent me some Ecru soft, which is still there. Thanks again. But I will go for Liverpool kit, and again. Talk about it a lot, and maybe it's a nice moment of growing up or becoming a sort of a man more confident in my own skin. But loads of that comes from the 30-year wait to win the Premier League is good. Done. Liverpool finally did it.
Yeah,
that feels good. As I said, reflect on certain things. But what I will not forgive was these Warrior kits. I do sort of get it to an extent. I think Warrior were, I think they were the, I wouldn't even call them football, but the soccer side of New Balance. So New Balance do amazing things, the 550s, you know, the stuff with ALD at the moment, there's amazing things going on. But these Warrior kits were, it was that sort of almost violent badge was weird. Yeah. I know Liverpool's colours are
extreme.
It was too extreme, and the boots that came out. So I think Mane was wearing them before he linked up with New Balance, or somebody definitely was.
Yeah.
But yeah, too much. And again, you can't not separate it from the TV show and Brendan Rodgers and the envelope, and we got close as well, but there's a maybe now again coming out the other side, bit of success, been a good few years, but that for me it was the team you support, it was all wrong.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. Davey,
In terms of like worst kits design wise, like the Man United grey kit is pretty bad.
You reckon? Yeah,
so it's bad. It's bad if you're gonna put it. You know, if you put it into modern sense terms, hold on.
Yeah, it's nice though, you get to go last.
I'm gonna play both parts.
I'll get it. Yeah.
So as when that kit was released, no one had ever had a grey kit. I might be wrong. Had a grey kit before. There was all sorts going on there. It was like, you know, you can't tune your television.
Yeah.
Properly, and you know, it's just all white noise.
Well, Ferguson reckon he couldn't tune his own eyes, didn't he?
Swap
at half time.
Yeah, we'll come to that. I'm telling this story. And then you got the sharp view cam bands across the centre of the chest, which if you've got the shirt, it's some weird extra stitching. It's almost like someone's had to seamstress go back onto it, and adding this extra stream. It's not like in the shirt, would be by modern standards.
Yeah.
It's at the time, it was a terrible kit. But because of what happened at Southampton and the half-time change and everything that came with it, it's now become completely opposite. And the more you look at it, or the more I look at it since then, it's like, actually, is it that bad?
Yeah.
And then it's just the kind of the history and the legacy of the kit. It's like, it's bad, but it's on that version. It's
Do you remember obviously the England Euro 96 grey kit? It was another grey shirt, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which is sort of obviously much more fondly remembered, but it's not really that different, same colour.
No.
And I remember when that came out, it was apparently designed to be worn with jeans. That was the reason
Really?
Apparently so.
Fuck, in 95, 96?
Well, if England wear red, does Gaza get on the end of that Anderson cross?
No.
We'll talk about that next
time. So that's a genuine lifestyle choice. So that's interesting. But do you find, in a more personal, unprofessional basis, like do they turn up a lot? Obviously, we looked at some amazing kits.
And they're popular. They're enough.
Oh yeah,
but I think it's been more due to that because of the year of manufacturing.
Okay.
5 years earlier, no, they'd be really rare.
Right.
But now there was enough produced of
mass production. Okay.
But if you get, the likes of the King on the back. Or any player during that time, there's that famous picture that exists of like you got your Beckham, Butt, Neville, Cantona, or someone else, and they're all in that grey shirt. You can Google it, and that makes that shirt really, really popular. So if you stick a name on the back, it goes immediately.
But David, let's find the name. Let's go deep into the squad. What are we selling? Who's in that squad? Is Ferguson selling there? What type of year have we got?
God.
What do you mean?
Who's wearing? So, as in, they were talking about Cantona on the back. But who's the lower down?
Oh, John O'Kane at number 30.
All right,
yeah.
Great. All right. So, let's look for John O'Kane, if anyone's got one. John O'Kane, grey shirt. Yeah, yeah, that would be
Cortatus.
The one. Yeah, please. Yeah. In fact, yeah, no, John, if you're
right, that's the big one.
It's also the name numbering design as well on the back.
Yeah.
The felt as well. It was the only kit that had that colourway.
Oh, really?
Red, isn't it?
Yeah. No other kit had it, so it makes it more valuable as well. But it's one of those ones where it's, from a worst kit's perspective, it's pretty bad. Like the shorts pinstripes as well.
Yeah.
Great. And the black pinstripes on the shorts. Yeah.
Like, and the socks were great.
It felt like it was designed in a bit of a panic.
Okay, yeah. Got to get that,
It's now become the opposite. Yeah, legacy.
Because it's got a story to tell.
If you took that game away, would it be that big? No. Everyone forgets the fact they got smashed by Villa at the beginning of the season in that kit.
So we're talking about one of the greatest bits of PR.
It's that if you, you know.
I'm into that though.
You
know, Beckham scores an unbelievable goal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 3-0 at half time, and then he scores. Yeah.
You know, they all, watching the various documentaries about that class of 92, it's they all come out and say, you know, they thought they were in big trouble, they made bad choices. It's where the famous Alan Hansen quote came from.
It's
based off of that kit against Villa.
Yeah, okay. Good choice, Mass.
That's really good.
Just Norwich, generally.
Definitely.
Anyway, on to you, Josh.
As a club continuously up and down over a prolonged period of time, pathetic, and then every time you come in, you either... Like, imagine you work for, they've had, what was it, Era from 2011. They've just finished now with Joma. Joma have gone in and done an unbelievable shirt for them, to be fair.
Annoyingly good.
Yeah, it's very good. It's unreal.
It is.
Buck-trendingly good as well.
But imagine you work for Era, you're the designer, you go, okay, got Norwich again, they've gone on.
Norwich
are
back.
The Canaries, what colour are we going for?
Doing it again, like, we're back, better than ever, new kit time, let's have it. So what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, let's go Canary Yellow. Cool. All right, we've got that.
I genuinely feel like you were in the brainstorming.
With a bit of green on, okay, sounds.
Yeah.
You have the badge, the same, all right. But this is different this time. We're going to stay up, we're going to do it. All right.
That's them ringing, by the way, on the pub phone.
That's it. This is them on, yeah. Yeah. How do you, where have you infiltrated our meetings? What sponsor are you going to have? Well, you know, like we've been in negotiations with people all around the world, and that design's just got to think. It's Coleman's, it's Lotus, it's Aviva.
But there's something beautiful about the local sponsor. We spoke about Fiston's Own. But I agree with you. But make it, if you have got those local businesses, very few companies get to have them. But I agree, that's why I definitely agree with you. And you think, there couldn't be anything more East Anglia, so let's make something boss from
the
it. And you still
the
can't.
Meeting's phenomenal. Dealers still a spread. It's unbelievable.
Right,
in there.
Yeah.
Incredible dish.
Yeah.
But then in 15-16, they take the ultimate piss by having a green and yellow half and half, like Newton Heath style Man United. They then have a green away kit.
Stop bringing it back into Man United.
Yeah.
It's Vlad, you reference it, isn't
it's
it?
A Premier League.
Green away kit.
Yeah.
And then the third kit. Is
let me guess.
Yellow, green, and gold stripes.
Yeah.
Horizontally. What on earth are you doing?
No.
Like, just don't come back to the Prem. The Prem should put a thing in. I'm all for promotion and relegation. A lot of leagues are.
That's big of you. That's big of you.
The only thing is.
Shout out to the Super League if you want to sponsor this next time.
Listen, Super League, if you're listening. I'm all for.
Ignore the UEFA stuff I said.
Apart from in the case of Norwich.
Yeah.
At least Fulham come back with nice kits.
That's true. It's very true. It's like that, you know, the kind of meme from The Office where Brent goes for that date and he hears David, he looks around, for fuck's sake. It's like Norris coming back to the Premier League.
The canary yellow chiffon scarf.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's a good choice and I absolutely can come back.
Joe have pulled out an absolute world.
They have. Yeah. I hate to admit it. Yeah.
I was going to say, the Ipswich fans are now going to,
The wake is good as well.
Yeah. They've done very, very well.
Done very well.
As we said earlier on, off camera.
Very good.
Someone new has come in at Joma.
Join
us. September.
My choice is really, it's sort of not really, I'm kind of fudging this, like, it's not really specifically this shirt, it's more the sort of, this era of shirts that just became very beige, which is, I'm going to pick a United shirt, apologies, but it's like that, the V-neck, white V-neck collar from about 05, 06.
Yeah.
It's not, I had no particular problem with that shirt. It's just that to me is kind of sort of an example of the sort of general malaise of football shirt design.
Stop trying.
The Northeast was sort of malaise and bore of kits, weren't they?
Yeah.
But, so you took the Northeast
Umbro
brand.
No, not Umbro. No, it was a Nike shirt. It was a Ronaldo one.
AIG.
It was forgettable.
Yeah. But aesthetic, I think that's. But I completely agree. But I also have got a feeling that, by definition, the invisible season has to be Arsenal's best ever season, 2004.
Yeah.
I think 2005 to 2007 has to be Chelsea's best years. They were the, when the squad was there. I know they didn't win a European Cup, but they, I think their record for, I think one season they only scored 11, only conceded 11 goals. And in a way, I think it's the best United team ever. So there's this juxtaposition, and it's why it's worth focusing sometimes on the 90s. And what's happening at the moment is probably too close to be nostalgic or revisionist and whatnot. Yeah. But those noughties, you're right. They are. Their Chelsea winning those first two leagues for 50 years and that Umbro kit that I'm sure they were desperate to get rid of. But I think Chelsea, Arsenal and United have their best teams ever in their history at the time where the kits are just crap and you should just join them. And like,
I think that's quite reassuring, though, that we don't just judge football shirts by how good the team is.
Yeah,
you look at the Breeze Banana, you know, that team was crap, really. That was a bad team. They won the FA Cup, I think. But, you know, they also got knocked out to Wrexham in the third round or something. I think it was the FA Cup. So I quite like the fact that we don't just associate it.
Maybe
you know,
that's perfect.
Obviously, we know that, you know, a United shirt that they won the league in will be worth a little bit more.
From a commercial perspective.
Is that right?
I think that there's... I would definitely go with that. I would say that it's the nostalgia element that always takes the customer over the line.
Right.
Talk about it in that way.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately what you're harping for. No one needs a football shirt.
No.
Like, well, you just want it, what you do.
Well, you say that.
So it's obviously why everyone likes Everton
shirts. Needs
it's not success. It's all right.
But there's often a memory that carries people like why they go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with a team that they definitely don't support.
Yeah.
It's always that.
Yeah.
Good. The nearly teams of it all, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Chaps. Best go because my staff are at the doorway.
We better finish there. Chat's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah, really, really enjoyed discussing that. And we'll 100% be back soon to talk more kind of football shirt nonsense. Thanks very much.
All the best. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.